Welcome to the Power Pulse podcast series brought to you by Standard Bank.
We're on to episode 6 of the Power Pulse series. And hosting today is Kevin Semwagerere, who's the corporate venturing lead to the Power Pulse platform, of course, from Standard Bank. Last time we spoke, Kevin, it was both you and Dirosh were with us. We looked at the common pitfalls in implementing solar projects for businesses. Today, we're going to be looking at another area, which is residential. And you've got a couple of suppliers who are we're going to be talking to in just a moment. Nafisa Farid, who's the CEO of Powerful Less, and Nick Roach, who's the Chief Product Officer at Rubicon. I presume that they went through all the processes to be able to, first of all, get onto PowerPulse and to be sharing the platform with you here.
Correct, Alec. So as was mentioned in previous episodes regarding the commercial and industrial client segments that we are currently addressing with the PowerPulse offering, we definitely vet all our trusted suppliers who we introduce to clients. So similarly in the residential space, in terms of the two that you've mentioned, they have definitely gone through extensive vetting, and we've made sure that given, you know, all the dynamics we have in the residential solar market with the various fly-by-nights providers that are out there, that they meet the test in order for us to have the confidence to introduce them to our clients as they seek residential solutions regarding their homes. So you can rest assured that any supplier that as a client you meet through the PowerPulse process has definitely gone through the right checks and balances.
Is it still a little bit like the Wild West? Often one sees that with new areas. In other words, do you have to be very cautious about the supplier in solar that you would be using?
I mean, when it comes to sourcing reliable power for your home, at the end of the day, that's a place you reside in all the time. You wouldn't like to be in a situation where your home, in essence, is put at risk, right? Power is essential for everyone's daily needs. So with regards to your question about it being the Wild West, I think there's a big business opportunity given the power, you know, challenges that we are experiencing in our country. So various suppliers have definitely entered the market from all kinds of directions and are taking advantage of the opportunity regarding residential or homeowners looking for alternative power supply for their homes. So there are some fly-by-nights who are creating, I think, a Wild West side of the market. But at the same time, there are those suppliers, such as the two we have with us today, who are definitely well-vetted, who have the right qualifications in place and licensings and memberships in place, who you can trust to come to your home and give you the right solution so that you don't find yourself in a sticky situation, given the Wild West part of the market that does exist.
So how mature is the South African market now? Obviously, it's not fully mature, as you mentioned earlier. It is new, and you would have a lot of opportunists who've come in. But where, if you were to look on it on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being fully mature, where are we?
It's very difficult to say exactly where on a scale of 0 to 10. If I was to give it a personal opinion, I would say we're probably at a 5, just touching a 6. And the reason why is similar to how, you know, we've addressed other segments regarding businesses in the commercial and industrial sector. There are a lot of moving factors that are in their infancy, such as, for example, how mature the technology is, how available are solar panels, what is the price point, and essentially who are the qualified suppliers or solution providers in that particular space. So when it comes to residential, similarly regarding other sectors such as commercial and industrial, the economics need to make sense for the homeowner. Affordability definitely, I think, is still a key issue to the maturity of this market. But I think, you know, as we see demand for alternative means of energy around the world, we're starting to see much more participants entering the country from a manufacturing perspective as OEMs, but also from a solution provider perspective as installers and other facilitators who are in the market. So hopefully over time, we will see this market mature even more as once again, the supply and demand factors start to make much more sense for the homeowner.
So the whole business model of PowerPulse is that you go out and vet the suppliers, make sure that these are organizations that Standard Bank says, I'll give you the stamp of approval, and clearly your clients then are not going to end up with fly-by-nights or with problematic suppliers. But how do you sort them out? What kind of a process do you go through to make sure that you don't have the fly-by-nights?
So it's quite a lengthy process, which I think can take a long time to unpack, but we look for the essentials. You know, first of all, track record. Do these suppliers or entities have the right track record in terms of what is heard about them in the market, what we hear from various participants in the market about the services they've provided? Secondly, do they have the right certifications in place? Given that this is a very technical process where your home is going to be electrified, you don't want any sort of Tom, Dick, and Harry, for lack of better words, you know, touching your electrification system and having your home catch fire. So we check on those particular certifications. And then at the same time, we take them through sort of our, what we call a due diligence process, where we look at various legal aspects and operating risk aspects in order to eventually have confidence that this is a supplier that we can introduce to clients. And then we go further to contract them. So we have master service agreements to onboard them into our list of accredited providers as an institution. But at the same time, regarding the PowerPulse solution specifically, we have a service level agreement which we put forward to them, which governs how we introduce them to clients and how we make sure that the client journey at all times is in the best hands. So from a legal and, let's say, execution perspective, that is how we try to mitigate against some of the risks and therefore have the confidence, given that process that I've outlined, to put them forward to clients that need their services.
Nafisa Farid is the Chief Executive of Power for Less. Nafisa, maybe if you could pick it up here, what should prospective buyers be looking for in a solar power installer? In other words, when they come and talk to you and they ask you the right questions, what are those questions that they should be asking everybody to have a fair judgment?
My suggestion would be that they apply a 5-point compliance checklist. And part of those 5 points is, number one, as Kevin mentioned, track record. You do not want to be that individual's guinea pig when you're installing a PV solution, either in your home or your business. So track record basically gives you an idea of the performance of that business, how long they've been established, and what their name is in the industry. The second thing is contactable references. That's very important because that gives you an indication of how that company has engaged with clients, the service that they have delivered. And it also gives you an indication of how they've maintained that relationship post once the solution has been delivered. Accreditations is very important, especially in the power industry. When you are in the power industry, I mean, the minimum expectation I would have is that the company is registered with the ECA. Personally, my experience with the ECA, they police companies very, very well. And they help individuals that are in this industry to accredit themselves and educate themselves further. It's important that anyone that is doing the wiring, especially installing PV in your home, can provide you with a valid COC. That is a non-negotiable.
You're giving us a few anagrams there that you got to maybe just unpack for us. ECA and COC, what are they?
So ECA is the Electrical Contractors Association, and COC is Certificate of Compliance. Another thing that I would suggest is, you know, you have to have a service provider that has the ability to listen and understand. And I think that is a problem in this industry where when a client is looking for PV, they are given a host of options without an individual actually understanding what is the generation requirements that the client has. So it's very important for the service provider to understand, to audit and to audit the client's home as well as audit their generation requirements and then advise advise them on what is and what is not possible. Now, if you are an accredited supplier in this game, you would be able to understand what is and what is not possible. And that is broad. That is in relation to structure, in relation to direction, in relation to whether the supplier can have a solution that delivers that particular output. And another thing that's very important is efficiency. You would want to have a company that talks efficiency, because when you audit a customer's requirements, sometimes the PV solution required can be enormous, but that can be reduced substantially if the service provider makes the necessary steps to understand how the customer can become more efficient, and by becoming more efficient, reduce their demand and thereby requiring a smaller PV solution, and that would require a less capital intensive exercise for the customer.
Nick Roche is also with us. Nick, the Chief Product Officer at Rubicon. We know that not all suppliers are created equal. Clearly, it's not just in this field, but in every other field as well. How much of a difference does quality make? And talking here about warranties, life of product, reliability, and so on.
It makes all the difference. We spend an enormous amount of time testing product. You know, we've been in the industry for quite a few years now, and we've seen where the risks are, and we've got the battle scars to prove it and to mitigate that, and to make sure that, you know, we're protecting everybody in the value chain from poor quality or faulty equipment. We do a huge amount. We invest massively in testing every year. That means bringing in new products, testing them, looking for, you know, what's good, what's bad, and that kind of thing. And interestingly, as much as 50% of what we test doesn't end up in the market for some reason, either for regulatory reasons, for quality reasons, for commercial reasons, all sorts of different reasons. So it's an enormously important part of what we do.
And perhaps to both you and Nafisa, can you give us some booby traps that we should be looking out for as potential buyers of or investors into a solar solution at home? Maybe you could share experiences of situations that you've seen where you've had to clean up first. And Kevin mentioned the fly-by-nights earlier on, cleaned up first, and then only then being able to do the installation. Nafisa.
Look, you know, it's funny that you mention it. Somebody mentioned to me about an interview on Carte Blanche, and I went back yesterday and looked back on Catch Up to watch it. And to be honest, that is a clear indication to any individual who is looking to put PV into their home as to what to be aware of, which are the booby traps when it comes to looking for a PV installer. When it comes to homes, you know, it's very important when I mentioned the compliance criteria, it's very important that when a installer wants to come into a residence and install PV, that they do an audit first. Because when they come into residence, they realize that there are lots of booby traps that could make the implementation unsafe, not only for the resident, but for the reputation of the company at large. So very recently, we had a customer that had contracted with the company and wanted to install a 5-kilowatt solution in her home. So on assessment by the engineer of Powerfulness, they noticed that the wiring of the home was not compliant. So the main feed into the home was split in two. It was connected by a 6-millimeter connection block, and it was feeding 2 dB separately. So the home's each dB was feeding back to the meter independently. So technically, any installer that came into that home to install PV, if they installed it, it would only feed 1 dB board. From a compliance perspective, that wiring is not legal at all. It would be wrong to commence and deliver that solution until the wiring is corrected. So the first steps, obviously, was to ensure that the wiring was brought into a compliant manner. A COC was issued on the new wiring. And once we knew that the the wiring was safe, it was no longer a fire hazard, and the solution that was being implemented would deliver the 5 kilowatt to the entire home in its entirety, then only did we proceed. Now, the problem is that if this was any other Bucky Brigade or a fly-by-night, the main objective would be to deliver the solution and to get paid from the client, not to consider the safety to the client, the safety to their home, and whether the solution is actually going to deliver what they've paid for.
Yeah, and it's, I suppose at the end of the day, you always will be having to pay for shoddy workmanship right at the upfront.
And when Nick mentioned when Nick mentioned quality, I wanted to mention that quality product is very, very important, but quality installation is equally important. So they literally go hand in hand. We can deliver you quality product, but if you pay somebody who has no experience to install it, you're really not going to get the return on investment on the solution. So it literally is two handshakes: quality product, quality installation, and then long-term maintenance.
Nick, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I when you were talking earlier, I thought it's not one or the other, it's both. You know, if you have just a random person come and install your equipment, it's going to look like that and it's going to work like that. And we see an enormous amount of that. We try to mitigate that by making sure that the guys that we're supplying to are qualified and so on. But we do get calls from, you know, Mrs. Jones to say, I've got this thing and it's not working and it's somehow ended up in the supply chain somewhere. It may have been supplied by us originally or somebody else. And at the end of the day, the end user is left holding the screaming baby, and they don't have power. They don't, you know, the lights are not on. They're certainly not getting the ROI that they expect. Most of these systems are installed with some kind of return expectation, you know, and when they're poorly installed, that just never materializes.
Kevin, last word from you. At the end, the role that PowerPulse is playing in the residential market now, you did start off by focusing on businesses, but are homeowners starting to come to the party?
Yeah, so we've actually kicked off a proof of concept to prove the residential business model as a PowerPulse platform. So that has gone live, and we are, you know, at all times, waiting to see how the demand picks up for this offering as we seek as a core value proposition to, in essence, educate residential homeowners more about their energy profile, especially from an economic perspective. Similarly to how we service businesses, we would take them through what we call a residential calculator and do a feasibility or economic feasibility analysis on their energy needs in order to determine, are they a viable candidate for solar, and will solar make the right difference for them? And then after that, we then take them through a full journey, which is site visit all the way to receiving a proposal from the relevant solution providers, such as the two that we have with us today, until eventually they get a proposal, which they have to accept, which is the first step to contracting with the solution providers for solar installation. So we are running that process currently. And if it proves to be successful, we will then look to build it as a more fully fledged and, I think, a more sophisticated offering as part of the PowerPulse platform, evolving beyond servicing only businesses, but also looking at residential homeowners. So at the moment, that's what we have. But I think during this time of, you know, load shedding, the demand definitely is there. We even have staff members internally who are saying, I would like to have solar in my home. So I think the need is now more than ever.
PowerPulse by Standard Bank is an end-to-end online solution built to match businesses with trusted suppliers and deliver the right technical, legal, and funding solutions. For more details, email us at powerpulse@standardbank.co.za.